domain.
Oh no. Oh no.
Yes, bow down before your master.
I feel that's a line he's used before.
I do have a little toy, though. Like this.
Ooh, that's better. That's better.
Honestly, guys, I'm just going to say it for all our listeners. That's getting kind of annoying now. Just the whole reverb thing. I now want like a full modulation suite.
You know what? If I'm not allowed to play with my toys, I don't want to do this anymore.
That's right.
I should be allowed to play with my toys.
And today I'm
using an actual pedal to do this. You know?
Are you? That sounded a lot better.
A lot better, isn't it?
Yeah, is it?
I'm not going to tell you that, but check this out. How about that right there?
Ooh, that's nice.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Let me turn that up a little more.
All right. For a minute, I was going to take it all back and go, no, you're all right. You play with your toys. But no, I'm bored already, Bri. What on earth is wrong with you? Get out of the bathroom.
Never. Never.
The toilet is the best place to podcast from.
Absolutely.
Is that the title this week?
How are we doing this week anyway, fellas? Can we bring ourselves down to earth and think about subjects that are important to us and not toilet humor?
No,
we can't.
No, we cannot.
It's just toilet humor. Yes. What's your surprise this week, Bri? You said you've got a surprise for us.
That was my surprise. It was the reverb and delay.
Oh.
That was it, that's all I got.
Which brings me on to the new Poison Noises throwback pedal that Jordan showed last week, which is a reverb and delay, and you know what, he used glow in the dark paint on it. Powder.
Jordan, I like your style, man. How about that?
That appeals to the 80s kids in all of us.
I like it.
Did you guys have like glow-in-the-dark stars that you stuck on the ceiling of your bedrooms and made it look like space? Maybe.
So whenever I was going through that, I was in my early pre-kid stages. And that was just part of the whole marijuana culture back then. That's just what you did.
Or put glow-in-the-dark stars on your ceiling.
Being a child.
That was the thing. That was the thing in the marijuana. Those who might have partaken in the natural herb, so to speak.
Well, see, I didn't even know about marijuana when I was putting stars on my ceiling.
That just means you didn't live in Martinsville. That's all we had to do here. That's all it was to do.
How long have you actually lived in Martinsville? I'm not sure I'm aware of this fact.
Well, I've moved back and forth a lot. So let's see my life history. Lived here till I was 10, moved away to Indianapolis at 11, moved to near Richmond, Indiana when I was 12, moved back to Indianapolis when I was 13. Moved to Speedway, Indiana when I was 14, moved back to Martinsville when I was 15, stayed here till I was about 21, then went to Florida, then back here, then back to Florida, then back here, then to Nashville, then back here. And then I went to, what's that city called? Nope, not Edinburgh. Nope. Trafalgar, that's it. And then I moved back here.
So you went out of all those places, you went to Nashville. So you had one good city and then the rest were just kind of.
No, well, I mean, Tampa and Sarasota, I really like that area. My brother still lives there. My family does. Oh, yeah. Well, mm-hmm. My brother lives in Sarasota, but we lived in Tampa at the time. I moved in with him a few times.
Got it.
Because I mean, I was working construction. So I was like, you know what? It's cold as hell up here in Indiana during the winter. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to go frame houses in Florida for the winter because I got nothing tying me down. Yeah, so I just go for the cold months and go find a job. And
you just couldn't find a nice medium, though. You had to go to the balmy goo that is Florida to frame
houses. It's 75 and 80 in Florida during the winter months. And
that's
it's like,
too hot to be framing houses in.
Perfect.
No, you want it to be like 60.
That's too cold for me.
No, 60 is perfect. Yeah.
So once it's 72, I'm good. Once it's 85, I'm like, oh, we're getting a little hot here. Getting a little hot.
I see it hit 60, 67 here, which is just about right. So that's how I knew it was time to break out the Dickie shorts. Time to go, baby. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I put my shorts on the other day because we hit the magical number of, 59 degrees Fahrenheit. That's short wearing weather in England.
What was it again? Right?
59 degrees.
59 degrees is warm short weather. 59 degrees is where I'm looking at my coat going, you shall be on my shoulders.
No, 59 degrees is short weather, baby.
Yeah, I thought summer had arrived, but it's gone again, sadly. But I managed to paint my fence and mow my lawns, and it made me feel very old because I ache.
So temperature-wise, what do we got going on over there right now?
This very minute, let me just... look, it's about 11 degrees
I'm just curious. Did you say
11? I'd say in the day it'd be about 13. It's about 55 degrees in the day.
Okay, well, that's not bad for April. Okay,
it's a cold April over here at the moment. I approve of the fact that I tried to talk about a guitar pedal and we spoke about it for exactly 13 nanoseconds before moving to Brian's living habits. And weather. We are so middle-aged.
Well, we're dads. We're dads. You're supposed to talk about weather.
Mm-hmm. I mean...
I want to talk about this pedal.
Tell me more.
It glows in the dark. Did we talk about... Oh, yeah, we did talk about that. I wonder if he's done it...
That's all we're going to talk about? Okay.
So glows in the dark. I love the artwork on it. It's got a kind of sort of... Disney 20s style. I've seen Robert Keeley use a very similar style on one of his pedals. So I feel there is a style that I should reference when I talk about it, but I love it. I wonder if it's based on the spin chip because, oh, thank you, whoever's just zoomed in on it in the document, because that happened on my screen.
That'd be me. That'd be me. I couldn't see it with my old eyes.
I'm wondering if he used the spin chip for it, Bri, because we were chatting about that when he was over. But either way, I think there's been a real maturity in his design style versus like the first pedal I got from him, which, looked very DIY compared to this. I know it was kind of his aesthetic at the time, but they're starting to really ship some attractive looking pedals, in my opinion. Not the early one.
Yeah, this looks nice and crispy. I like it. It looks really
like
good.
Jordan stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's a good dude.
I also dig the graphic on this a lot. And then like the text on all the controls kind of vibes with the overall Disney-esque feel. I don't even know if it's necessarily Disney, but just old school animation in general.
But you see, he's made an interesting choice. And it is a choice that I can now debate with you guys openly, which is the label above or label beneath the knob choice. And for us, it's always labeled beneath because when your pedal is angled or on a, on a board where you can't necessarily see right over the top, if the labels are beneath the knob, then you can always see them. If they're above the knob, you can't always see them. They get obscured.
That's true, but his knobs are kind of scooted down a bit, though. Is that because of the labeling, or is that because of mechanical stuff? If it was because of mechanical stuff, then you're like, all right, well, we got to put the labels above it.
I mean, I don't know. I am not an expert on Jordan's knob placement. That is a statement I am very
happy
to make.
That's not my understanding.
Jordan says otherwise. He says otherwise.
He says otherwise.
He says you've been known to play with some knobs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am a knob twiddler by profession. I've twiddled several knobs recently for you, Bri.
that's wonderful.
We had to send so whenever we send pedals out to demo artists, I have to test them because if they turned up to the demo artist and didn't work, that's not a good look for us. But sometimes, the other day,
what's this one do? It makes it's a mute button. That's what it is. It's a mute
It's just a mute switch. Don't worry. Kill switch. Yeah.
I was playing with our latest release, which is going to come out sometime next month, in less than a month from when this comes out. And it was one of those pedals where I was playing with it and I did something with it that I couldn't really, like, I didn't know what I'd done. And then I was like, that sounds amazing. And I just found myself lost in the pedal. And then I was like, oh shoot, I've got three more of these to test and then send out as well. I had really better get back onto that. But I love it when that happens. And that will happen if I get sent one of these glow in the dark throwbacks. I'm sure of it, Jordan. Just going to say. But yeah, the new pedal we've got coming out, Bri, I don't want to talk about it too much, but there is something special about it. I don't want to say magical. Mm-hmm.
I tried to tell y'all, and everyone's like, oh, good. It don't sound like a Marshall. It's supposed to sound like a Marshall.
I mean, it actually can. I'm just going to say it really can. Yeah.
But it's like,
but that's not what it's best at.
Not everything is supposed to sound like a Marshall, you know? That's sort of
again, thing. That's not my understanding.
Yeah, I think you've read the manual wrong, Mr. Wampler. No, this has got like some very subtle
I'd like
properties.
You to meet Mr. Mesa Boogie.
Speaking of which, Synergy have just released the in no way related to, I don't know, is it the rectifier circuit, I suppose you would call it? The D-Rect. I guess that stands for double rectifier, does it, Bri? Which is a module which gives you a kind of Californian high-end amplifier sound. I think that's kind of in Mesa territory.
So do I go full boy locker room here, or do I be serious?
A little from column A, a little from column B.
I mean, you know, some people like gain, right? And some people, whenever they use gain, they like the direct circuit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the right kind of gain kind of makes that direct circuit do what only the direct circuit can do, right? Mm-hmm.
Especially when running direct.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly where I'm going. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I knew it was. Mm-hmm. I knew that's what you were going to say. That's why I was just trying to help you along.
And you also skillfully avoided...
give you a little shove.
saying erect, which is definitely the word that you were thinking of because you were skirting around it so skillfully. But let's, you know, let's stay on point here.
Sure.
It's what this has reminded me of, because obviously I did a bit of work on the website for
Let's just stay right here near the tip for a second.
Jeez. Bro, this isn't the Patreon. We can't say these sort of things. Spray yourself immediately, sir.
Oh, yeah. I don't have the soundboard.
I'm like in control of the sounds today.
I don't have a soundboard.
He's just over here going, psh, psh.
We're in some kind of lawless wasteland right now. What's going on?
With no squirt puddles to keep us on track.
Before I fell in love with the sound of the Soldano, the amplifier that I really fell in love with was the Mesa Boogie Stiletto, which isn't one of their...
I've never messed with one of those much.
Oh, there's something so glorious about the gain sound with it, Bri.
Really?
I think it might now be another another bit of mission.
I have a Lone Star, and of course it has a distortion channel on it, but it's kind of meh to me. Like, it's okay-ish. It just doesn't do the thing that I like.
Supposed to be sort of a more traditional kind of Fendery type thing?
Kind of a Fendery with, if you could add a knob to every resistor sort of thing. Yeah. Then,
gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I forgot about the Stiletto, Richard.
So did I.
And 34 bad boy.
Is it really? So, mm-hmm. Gee, you guys are going to make me freaking buy an amp. Jeez.
Well, you better not buy before I buy it. Hold on. I'm going to just put the price of them up here. Hold on. My plan
our stiletto
working.
Amplifiers mark Mesa's dedication to the legendary power behind Heavy Rock's British ancestry, razor sharp and finely honed. The stiletto is mean enough to hang with a wall of rectos and slice right through the mix with a trademark new sound.
None of the words you said there have put me off. Well, I mean, they are expensive, like £1,500.
Elevate your tone with this Mesa Boogie stiletto.
Whoa. Wait, no. Now you put me off.
Delve into the sound that is the Mesa
Boogie. I'm not even lying, right? Two things that have happened to me recently. A client of mine put a web page together and said, hey, I've written all the copy. Please check it through.
Yeah.
And I had to go through the copy and remove all of the things that I recognized as being clearly AI written, because it was just elevate this and deep dive that. And but the other thing, and that really, really upset me so much so I've forgotten what the other thing was. Oh, damn.
Oh. I'm still mad about that. Oh, man, I love this. So this is for, I got to buy a Sam. Got to, because the listing is, this is from Reverb, from a user, so it's not from Mesa, but this person says, this is the amp Marshall Wish they built.
Yeah, and you know, my guitar teacher had one, and I played into it for a lot, Bright, and I love it.
Oh, Richard, why did you bring this? I was trying to save money. I was doing good. And then you come along and you bring up this amp, and now here I am on Reverb trying not to press buy it now.
Just do it.
I mean, I'm sorry, because
I pay my mortgage, or do I buy an amp?
Mortgages
like, they can't kick me out right away, right? If I don't pay my mortgage.
No, you got like several months before they actually kick you out. You're good, yeah.
Right? I mean, like, technically, I can still just squat, right? They can't. They have to physically remove me from the house, right? So that's like 6 months.
I think so. Yeah,
it's like 6 months.
I think that's how that works.
So I think, I mean, I'm looking at, it's a good price for a head like this. I mean,
you need to check it out first, because it's a very divisive head. A lot of people have said it's not their favorite Mesa, but maybe that's what makes it brilliant. I don't know. All I can remember.
And it might be because Mesa is traditionally thought of as more like a Fender platformy that they've made to get dirty. You know, added gain stages and all
this
kinds
is
of
not
stuff
that.
To make it
this
more.
Is, right. This is instant face melting. And you need to have the right cab to, you know, this is not going to go with something flubby in the speaker area. You want something tight with.
Well, I'm not cab short. I have more cabinets than I have room.
You're long on cabs?
Well, I believe we've just solved the problem of the mortgage, because if you are long on cabs and short on house, you can always build something with your Floridian framing skills.
Hold on, let me get this. So you're not suggesting that I sell cabinets though, right?
No, the house.
Okay.
Sell the house. Rent them out. Back
live line. In the cabinets. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, I like Richard's idea better. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's gonna be hard. Babe, we need to get this couch in this 212 cabinet. I don't know how we're going to do it. We got to do it, babe. That's going to be a tough one.
Yeah. No,
you just stack the cabs around you like a house.
What do you put on top? Guitar cases?
Heads. That's what naturally goes on top of a cab.
I guess.
This is very true, so. You
know what I was looking at the other day, Richard? Speaking of amps, and this is your fault also. I keep going back to that Engel Iron Ball Special Edition. I'm like, man.
Engel stuff is great. I'm surprised it's not way more popular over here.
That Iron Ball really looks like it. Somebody brought up an Iron Ball in a recent like Tone Mob episode, and then I remembered that you had talked about the special edition one with all the IR stuff and the reverb built in.
Just everything like, built in. I hope to get one at some point.
I think
this
I really
year.
Need that. Such a cool
Is it
amp.
Just me, or have we gone immediately from none of us needs anything else to everybody on this show has now got a deficit of about $3,000? Because I've been looking at guitars, I've been looking at Line 6 things. You know, I'm still thinking about my rig for the band, and if they want me to go straight into the mixing desk, I think I'm going to go with the IRX, and I'm probably going to just use pedals into it.
I had a question for you. I was thinking about you, actually, Richard. And I mean, I was thinking about you a lot. And I was like, man, that guy's so hot.
Oh, man, he's so, so hot. So hot right now.
Yeah, he's good. Like,
he's so good.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was thinking, like, why not take one of your heads, your amp heads, and run like a tube torpedo in, not torpedo, but a captor. Run into a captor.
I mean, I have had the same thought because as I looked to my left, Bri, there is a captor. And I thought, well, I could take that. And then I also thought, I could take my Soldano mini amp if I just wanted distortos.
If, you do, if it was just gain, yeah. But you got to have some clean stuff in there too.
But
you can't play the funk with a Soldano.
No, and I don't use my IRX at all. So I was thinking this might be a good time to actually start using my IRX. I mean, I worked for it. I traded it for work. So I was like, I should probably use it. And then I was thinking, I wonder if I could get away without using... the thing is, I've been really enjoying the power of the gearbox because I've had the Tumnus, I've got the Pinnacle, and I've got the noise gate. Now, okay, I could probably run the gearbox into the IRX, but that seems a little bit like plugging a Marshall into a Marshall. I don't know. Maybe.
The IRX, it doesn't really have, like, it's got a clean, but it's not super fantastic-y, fendery clean, right?
Just kind of like, you've got clean. It's two channels, and you've got a cleaner channel, but you're right, it's not.
So I have a prototype of what became the IRX. Oh, no, I got to be careful here. So, and there's a clean channel in that one that is, it's great. It's fantastic.
I mean, if only you were able to send me that prototype, right?
There is only one. I was almost a Wampler product at one time.
Yeah. I think it still should be. I mean,
so it's like the Highlander.
Talking out of the tone here because, I mean, I would want one. But, like.
Well, I mean, I guess if. And I'll throw this out to the world. You know, if 100 emails come across my inbox and say, you should make a tube-based IRX-style pedal, well, then that gives me data to go off of. And I say, look at all these people emailing me about this product I should make.
If I send you an email 100 times, will that count?
Do you have 100 different email accounts? That might work.
Yeah, I do. Got like 12.
No, I do. Yeah. I've got like 1,200. I got an infinite amount.
Tone Mob 1 at Gmail, Tone Mob 2 at Gmail, Tone Mob 3 at Gmail.
Let me ask you a question.
Blake Weiland,
if you were
1,596
such a device, would you put some like basic like reverb delay type effects in it, do you think? Or would you have it just as
It's all driven by cost, right? Because like once you start adding more like the effect side, you're like, all right, well, that's another $150 on it right there. So it all kind of revolves around that. So it's like
I understand.
You can keep adding stuff, but at what point is someone going to say, why would I spend $899 on this when I can just get a 1,000 different other things that do something similar?
And this may
and it's
just
the size
be,
of a full blown tube amp head, right, and it's like, wait, this actually is a tube amp
it's
head.
It's the size, of a head, right? With the digital, which is digital power.
No, I hear you, but there is a bit of me that thinks those sort of time based in the effects loop pedals are really they don't feel right to me when you put them in. Like, I know I've got an effects loop in my IRX, and I'm going to probably put the time based effects in that. But I just want it all in one solution, Bri.
I get it. So,
and I don't want to buy the Line 6 because that's just gone up in price.
I hate to say things like when people have like this idea of how things work, and I'm like, actually, no, it doesn't work that way. Then people get mad. But from a signal flow standpoint, it is the same thing if you add effects into the unit as an effects loop. All you're doing is just making a jack for that signal to flow.
No, you're wrong.
That's all you're doing.
No. You're wrong, Bri. Because what you're doing is saving me from carrying an extra two cables. And I am incredibly lazy. Okay?
But you're stuck with what you get, though. You're stuck with what's in the amp. And you can only do so much within that pedal board. So you're like, okay, I have delay time and volume.
The Great. World will only ever need one type of delay and two types of reverb. I think like that has been proven time and time again.
I disagree.
It's like disagree. The katanas or the line, even like the line six spider. You have a control that's like, oh, we're going to change delay time and feedback and volume on this one knob. And it's like, it's not great. No, it
doesn't really change,
what you're really saying.
It doesn't
saying
give you
enough
control.
Right. Right. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't give you the full control.
Some kind of, I don't know, multi-reverb and delay pedal. That would be fantastic, Bri. That would make my life easier.
No, we don't need any of those. There's plenty of those out on the market already.
Well, let me see what we can do here. I'm not quite really not sure about what we can come up with.
It's weird, Brian.
That's
because
actually
the
great
repeats,
setting,
like,
by the way.
Uh-huh.
When you talk...
What?
The pitch.
The repeats sound like me. Like... It's like you said the word, but then I did the repeats. That's what it sounds like.
Wait, what?
See what I mean?
No.
That one was more like you. Certain notes in your voice, it was like, I heard myself coming back in my ears there, but it wasn't me that said it.
So you're saying I sounded sexy? That's what you're saying.
I think I'm going mad.
I accidentally butt dialed Brian from my sofa very late one night. Well, it's actually early his time.
And he did. And I heard the background. I was like, Anna, give me some smoochies. It's smoochie time.
And what Brian didn't understand is smoochies are simply a British cookie. And so, yeah, he was just looking for some cookies. So you mentioned the Line 6 Spider, Brian. I have an interesting update, but just a piece of history about the Spider that I did not know. Uh-huh. I made a meme featuring the Spider the other day, and Gina from Maris chimed in, and she said, hey, Terry, you know, one of the owners main dudes over there, Maris. Yep. He did the hardware and like power amp section, I believe, if I remember the Spider stuff.
Yeah.
Like that's crazy. I don't think a lot of people realize that there's a Line 6 Strymon Maris kind of connection there. They've came on this show and told the story, but I was like, that's crazy. I didn't know he worked on the Spider. That's like,
I was
inspired millions.
I've told customers before, you'd be surprised like how small the actual industry is, because there's a lot of people that just do stuff for other companies, you know, and like their name's not on it, but they designed it, that sort of thing, mm-hmm. you know? And it's just a pretty common thing, because it's not the sort of thing you go to school for, like how to make a great sounding delay pedal for guitar. Like that's you just figure that stuff out. And so mm-hmm. it's pretty niche, right? And as a result, there's not that many people that can do that, because you can't hire it direct from college.
Well, and I mean, we've talked about this before, Brian, but correct me if I'm wrong, but there's electrical engineers, and they approach things through that mindset, right? But some of the things we want guitar gear to do and music gear to do is actually not sound electrical engineering principles.
For example, that's the mm-hmm. devil. Like you do everything possible. You learn everything possible to keep the clipping element outside of audio. You want it clean and pristine. And then guitar players come along like, I'll tell you what, bub. You know, what we need to do is turn that to make that stuff gain. Yeah.
I used to work with a guy who ran his own lighting company, and he was a real electronics nerd. He was a friend of a friend, and he used to kind of like snigger at me and say about, you know, how terrible Marshalls were at amplifiers.
All that
like,
distortion they
go
do.
And tell that to. Go and tell that to James Marshall Hendrix. See if he cares to hear about your. Incel views, my friend.
Clipping is terrible and no one would like
it. you are an incel, I don't know. You're probably not listening to the show. Actually, you probably are. I don't know. We shouldn't talk about it. We're in dangerous territory.
Jeez, man. If there was a way to just caption parts of this particular podcast, be some good reels.
Well, like the app headliner. Yeah, there would be. There was a leaked pedal. I don't know whether I'm not going to say the name of it because I know that the company involved, which is a very large company involved in several different types of media, they had a little mini pedal leak this week. Did you guys see it?
I didn't see it.
Neither.
Of course, I've been staring at Final Cut for about a month then. Now, though, so that's probably why.
That never happened. He says Final Cut. He means mine. he's stuck on a very difficult bit. Of course, in the last week, Dickie Betts from The Allmans passed away. That was a big sad.
One of the very legends. Such a legend.
And very much one of the tones I actually kind of sought early on in life because I think I told you guys this before, long before we ever had anything like MTV in any of my houses, a friend of mine lent me a VHS of the Rolling Stone greatest rock bands ever. And it was full of all this American music that I'd never heard. So from it, I got into like Jefferson Airplane, Creedence Clearwater Revival. And I remember this one clip of the Allman Brothers, and it was actually Dwayne soloing in Whipping Post. But I didn't know it at the time, and it took 20 years for me to find that record because I just had this vision of this guy playing the guitar. And I just remember the riff thinking it's like three notes, but it hit me like no other riff.
Yeah.
And when I got the live at the Fillmore, I was like, I found it. I found what I was looking for. And so I got really into the Allman Brothers. And there is no doubt they are one of the great kind of dual guitar and dual drum kit bands of all time.
Yeah, I sort of consider like Government Mule like the expanded version of Allman Brothers. Like this is what happens when Allman Brothers grows up, sort of in a way. You know,
right? And obviously, if we all look at the Tedeschi Trucks Band as being a kind of offshoot of the Children, but of the spirit of that music because they're very much. Mm-hmm. You know, doing that kind of blues rock Americana thing. But yeah, an absolute pioneer of a sound. And we're all definitely sad about it. Also, was it an SG player all his kind of playing career pretty much?
I can't answer that one. I don't know.
I know that the SG is largely associated with the Allmans, but I can't remember if Dickie Betts is exclusive to that or not. But
I think he was a Les Paul guy.
So we're real helpful, is what I'm saying.
Again, you never really saw him a lot in the videos because the early Allman Brothers videos, Dwayne took center stage pretty much. Big sad on that. Yeah. What else has happened?
Most of the images I'm seeing of him, he's got a Les Paul.
Yeah, he was definitely a Gibson guy. I think we can go that far.
There's a few SGs, but on a quick Google search, he's 90% Les Paul in these images.
So I don't know anything about the gear side of it. What amps are you using generally? Anyone know? Anyone?
Well, I barely knew what guitar he played, so that's not. I'm not doing a lot of good for you here.
Dickie Betts. Amplifiers.
Yeah, so there we go. He'd used a 68 Gibson SG, a 57 gold top. What about the amplification system? I'm seeing Voxes, Fenders, and Marshalls in this article, Bright. I think we're talking the major food groups here.
Yeah, I mean, I see one place he's playing a PV Classic.
I'm on the
50.
Les Paul forum now.
Let's see.
That Jessica lead has got to be a Marshall.
Surely it's a Marshall. Right? Surely it's a Plexi.
100-watt Marshalls loaded with JBLs.
JBLs, huh? Wow.
Yeah, JBL speakers.
That had to be loud like a mug, man. Poof.
Baby.
They're not known for their
flapping the pants. Things.
So that was a thing that happened last week. Sad. Did you guys see this article? Because I've actually got kind of a little artist that I've not discovered, but like, you know, I have these artists in the back of my head that I'm like, oh yeah, I never really checked them out. And then I check them out, I'm like, okay, they're amazing. So this article is about how male the guitar world is. I think we all know that instinctively. That
yeah, I've heard that before.
Essentially, female guitarists. But it turns out they're also just not getting the same amount of publicity on a pound-for-pound basis as male guitarists, which surprises me.
Really?
Because I would have thought that, yeah.
It does?
I mean, kind of, because I would have thought in this day and age, people would want to champion something a bit different and, you know, well, more equal and fair for everyone. That's kind of the world we're supposed to be living in anyway. But no, apparently it's still very much the case. And then it got me thinking about female guitar players who you really, really love. And I discovered one this week. Well, there's a couple. I mean, Joni Mitchell is one of my favorite singer-songwriters of all time. She's unreal and can play a bit of the acoustic. But have you guys ever really checked out Joan Armour Trading?
No.
Seriously, she can play some really awesome blues. She's a very famous singer-songwriter in the UK, but I'm not sure how big she was in America. I'm guessing by the complete blank looks on the faces of my hosts.
I'm not familiar.
I guess nowadays I think of people like Nita Strauss, who's just phenomenal, man. Good Lord, she's good. And she's played with, what's his name? The snake guy.
Alice Cooper.
Alice Cooper.
Why can't I think of this guy's name?
Either of the people that she's most known for playing with could be the snake guy. You got Alice Cooper or Machine Gun Kelly.
That's right.
Either of those could be Machine Gun Kelly. The snake guy.
And then you've got. I like a lot of the stuff that she did live with Alice Cooper because she just cut loose on solos. Oh, yeah.
She's insane.
Great. So.
Right. But again, Ahmad, we've discussed Joan Jett in the past, and we've discussed a few of the other sort of 80s stars.
Jennifer Batten, they are very few and far between. You know?
She was Michael Jackson's player, wasn't she, for a while?
Lori Basilio, she's amazing. She's a fantastic... She's technical, but it's so accurate, and I don't know if you've ever seen her like play up close. She's a really light touch. And it's like it doesn't match.
And so this
the tone
is
that
what
comes out. It's
you've
wild.
Just stumbled into what I wanted to say, Bri, which is, you know, there's a reason why men and women kind of riff so well together off each other. We have a different take on the world. We have a different outlook. And I think that needs to come out more in the music. And I think that's why I'd want to see almost a reversal of the previous situation. I want to see more women guitarists. I want to hear different things. And I wonder if, you know, the female touch is required sometimes. But then I've often heard that, you know, especially from teachers, that whether it's to do with, you know, just the way we're built or whatever, men seem to be able to get into learning like the really, and this is horribly generalistic, but, the really technical solos require almost a level of autistic practice to learn from somebody. You know, you've got to be repeating it so much, it's difficult to do. And is there something in the male psychology that is like moving us more towards having that skill naturally than in the female? Or is that too generalistic? Because again, listening to Joan Armour Trading,
the fact that we're easily entertained and can do things over and over and over again,
guitar
maybe.
Good,
maybe.
Me do guitar. That's guitar.
Maybe it is the guitar over and over.
But, you know, it was listening to Joan Armour Trading talking, she was saying about how it was, you know, when she was learning guitar, she loved Jimmy Page. She loved Jimmy Page. She loved, like, Cream. She loved Jeff Beck. And she got quite famous in the late 70s, like 79, I think, was pretty much a breakout year. And so she was hanging around with lots of guitar players. And I'm like, she was going to them saying, can you teach me that? And they were like, well, kind of, but you'd have to learn this first. And they were all just very condescending to her.
Yeah.
And no man would ever like show her how to do what she, so she just figured it out herself. But obviously she's brilliant, and you know there are a lot of brilliant women, but we shouldn't be putting these barriers up. It's the same as putting the barriers up to young people. You know, we should be making music as accessible for everybody and as inspirational for everybody. My name's Richard Oliver. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
I think part of the problem that we see quite a bit with this thing called the internet is that some people are just jerks, you know? And unfortunately,
Mike
a
drunk.
Lot of them are male.
Most, maybe?
Wait, there's just that? Some serious jerks in the world. And with that said, I gotta go.
It's a problem.
No, I mean, that's a terrible time for me to leave, but I literally have to go to the dentist right now.
I mean, all right, well, go get your wisdom teeth pulled or whatever you're doing.
He's having fangs planted.
I do not.
It's been turned into a vampire.
I do not enjoy the dentist. And unfortunately, this is the only time that they could fit me in. I'm like, but that's podcast time, and I don't want to wait for another 3 months for an appointment.
So does that mean me and Blake have got to do the Patreon, Brian, without you?
Unfortunately, you guys are going to have to do this as a duo. But you know what you can do? You could probably use an AI engine and just ask it questions. You know? What Brian Wampler would say
about this?
What about the executive producers this week? Do we want to say anything to them, or are we just going to ignore them?
I'll say something to them. That's what I would say. I love you. Thank you. We had some new Patreoners join up this week. So Patreoners.
Wonderful Patreoners.
Yeah. All right, Bri, get out of here. We'll see you
love
later,
you,
man.
Love you. Bye.
Later. Love you. Bye.
He's not going to the dentist, is he?
He's going to. There he goes.
He's got to get a tattoo.
Hang it up. You got to hang it up.
He's going to get a tattoo done.
Hang it up.
He knows we're saying
hang
things about
he's
him.
He's looking. He's can. Oh,
he's looking
monkey
confused.
Will push button. There he goes.
freedom to say what we want.
Well, I don't know what button he pushed because it's not up. Not showing that it's uploading.
Okay. I mean, it says. I mean, mine still says it's uploading.
Well, let's get over to Patreon. We'll figure this out.
Yeah. How's that sound, Richard? Do we want to say, shall I quickly run through the executive producers? How about that?
So, yeah, we could do that. Yeah, go for it.
Big thanks to all of the following wonderful people who keep us in hot sauce, I guess. Bill Bays, Justin Burke, David Tyndall, Night Hoss, Dave Trombetti. I'm going robotic. Shannon Weaver and the band Reduced to Rust, and or Eric Wilson, Vidar Frostad. Oh, I've messed that one up. Michael Freer, Sean Arbo of Gun Street Wiring, Rick Calhoun of Honey Picks, Patrice Fournays, Dylan Talkstone, Scientific Uppercut, Gavin Harrington, Barry from Grey's Guitars, Tom Kelly, Jake Young of the Man in Helm Podcast, Bigsy, John O'Neill, Robert Carr, Hunter Hudson, Rob Stokes, El Gibberito, Nick Spano, Sasha, Sergey Stratton, Seth Williford, Harry Post, Grumpy Mike, Harvey Pedals, Alison Carroll, Patrick Zeller, Bum Laser, Anthony Stevens, Chris Brown, Philip Carter of the 40 Watt Podcast, Mark Bauman, Christopher Logan, Jason Englehart, De Crowhawk, Dylan Lewis, Josh, James Thompson, and Colin Littlejohn. You are all wonderful
Colin
people.
Colin Littlejohn.
In fact, all of our listeners are wonderful people, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Chasing Dome podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com and I'll personally get your email. To email Blake, simply email info@tonemob.com and Richard can be reached at richard@wamplerpedals.com. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is to share this podcast with a friend, leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts. Also, check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. And make sure you check out WamplerPedals.com for blogs, videos, and of course, guitar effects. If you'd like to hear the post-podcast conversations and to get even more content, twice the amount of podcast episodes, simply check out our Patreon at patreon.com/ChasingTonePodcast. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.